Welcome back to Creativity and Chaos, a 1L2N podcast. I am Amy, and if you were a dragon, what element would you be associated with? Mike?
Probably sulfur, because it smells real bad.
Tommy?
I was going to go in a similar vein, because air, like I need to air myself out constantly. Like that's what I was going to go for.
And Liam?
Yo.
Milk dragon.
Yo, you would be a milk dragon.
That sounds horrible.
Milk dragon? What element would you be? What elements is milk made out of? Calcium? That's not an element.
Listen.
Wait a second. Hold on.
Honestly, that would be kind of the best because then you would be on your game for making hot cocoa. Like a hot milk dragon, you got it. You're great.
He's making hot milk, or he is a hot milk dragon.
Oh gosh,
hot.
You interpret that however you
hot
want.
Hot milk.
I feel like a hot.
That
milk
sounds
dragon.
Horrible. You know how the like acid dragons are supposed to look, where it's just like their breath is just like bulbous and chunky. Like that's how I imagine the milk dragon is. It's nothing good.
Oh yeah. Ugh.
We started this.
I would probably be
electricity
or something like lightning. Just like vomit lightning everywhere. Anyways, we're a family of dragons, hoarding all of our things, including our story writing process. But I guess we can bring you along for the ride.
Okay, wait. The real question is, if you're a dragon, what are you hoarding?
What would be the worst dragon?
Okay, well, first let's... Okay, we'll go for worst dragon, but let's go for what would you hoard? If you were a dragon, what would you hoard? I would probably be dice and craft supplies
gosh.
For me.
That'd be so meta.
Do dragons hoard things?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's like what they're famous for.
Yeah, but dragons were never real. So like we don't have any.
Neither was a tooth fairy, but the tooth fairy hoards teeth. We all know that.
The tooth fairy is a dragon?
Does the tooth fairy hold teeth? I thought they just took it and then gave you money.
No, yeah. They, like a dragon, have a pile of teeth in a cave and they swim in it because they're sick.
Says
the tooth fairy is sick.
Says who?
Have you never heard the tooth fairy lore?
Yeah.
What?
I want a story by you, Liam.
There's already it's called My Time as a Tooth Gremlin, the tale of my biography as the Fairy of Teeth.
Classic name. Classic title.
Really rolls off the tongue.
If you are going to be a dragon that hoards something terrible, it'd probably be like pogs. Instead of gold coins, it would just be pogs.
I think this is what you specifically would hoard.
If I was
a dragon.
Well, no, because I was answering both questions at once.
Oh,
like,
I see.
Something terrible, but also what would I hoard?
Questions.
Yeah. Why would you hoard why is pogs bad?
Little round cardboard and plastic discs, and they make no sense. At least when you're like collecting trading cards like Pokemon or something like that, you can, you know, battle with them. But with Pogs, what do? You slam it down with your little heavy slammer and then they pop up and you're like, ooh, I got that one. Like, come on. It's not a real hobby. All of you Poggers out there, get out of here.
Oh my gosh.
This gate is closed.
I'd be hoarding candy for sure. And the reason why that's terrible is because all that candy would melt. Instantly.
You know what my wife had the audacity to do? She bought me 1 pound of Reese's peanut butter cups in 1 half-pound versions. There was 2 cups. After I was specifically like, no, that's a terrible idea. Don't do it. And then she did it anyway.
Yeah, but probably you were like, no, that's a terrible idea unless.
I mean, I really did want it, but I also didn't. So let's.
So wait, so is she terrible or not now?
She's lovely.
Oh,
she is.
So cute.
There is a gun. You can't see it. But there is a gun pointed at Mike right now.
Right there.
All right, Liam, what would you hoard?
Antimatter.
Okay.
Okay, good choice. Good choice. I mean, dragons are intelligent. We don't know how they're getting it, but they are getting it.
Yeah. You know, it would also be pretty bad because it would probably end everything, especially me, the dragon. But you got it anyways.
Let's wildly speculate about science real quick, okay? So if a bunch of matter gets together and creates a black hole because everything's sucked towards it, what is an antimatter black hole? Is it like a light hole?
There is the theory of white holes, which is wherein everything a black hole sucks in has to go somewhere. So there's like white holes somewhere else that it does the opposite where it like pushes away like infinite, insanely amounts of matter.
Hmm. I'm glad this theory that I just created was validated.
Do you think that's the center of the universe? Because it's constantly expanding. It's just a white hole and all the black holes are leading into the center of this white hole.
So it's feeding itself?
Uh-huh.
Oh.
It's feeding itself, ever constantly expanding.
If it's expanding in every direction at the same time, there is no center, right?
There's where it started.
But that it isn't it more like a relative idea of it? Like there's nothing's ever just like pushing out of it. But if everything's expanding in every single direction and dimension at the same time, it's just like moving constantly. You can't pinpoint a center for it. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. I'm not a scientist.
Could probably try to pinpoint a center.
But it's just completely like mathematically impossible. Even though theoretically, I think there would technically be a center if it did start somewhere. But it's just so freaking large. There's no center.
And we're the center of our universe.
I'm my own white hole. I keep pushing everyone away.
In our observable universe.
Amy did not like that.
It's a pretty good joke.
Thank you, Liam.
You're welcome.
I think the worst dragon to be would be an acid dragon. Because if you are spitting acid everywhere, aren't you just like melting your hoard?
Maybe you're hoarding that one type of plastic that doesn't melt with hydrochloric acid, like in Breaking Bad. Guys, remember that show?
Oh, yeah. But then Jesse forgot to get the bin.
Yeah.
The right bin. Yeah. That's why there's a hole in the ceiling. Mm-hmm. Amy, you've never seen Breaking Bad, have you?
That is not true. I have seen the first episode, and I said, no, thank you, and then never watched it again.
She was like, there's not enough acid dragons in this show.
What can I say?
Sucker for fantasy.
Yeah, I really am. It's bad. That's what I hoard. Fantasy books and stories.
So you hoard your own lore is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Isn't that what you're already doing?
What do you mean?
Yeah, she's already.
Clarify.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Mike validated me, so I'm fine.
Okay. All right.
So much validation tonight. Thank you, guys.
What do you actually hoard? So Amy actually hoards fantasy books, right? Or not all fantasy books, but some of them.
Dice and craft dice supplies.
Yeah. I hoard electronic production equipment.
I was going to say instruments. I've never thrown out an instrument I've been given, even if I haven't played it. That's my hoarding.
I'm assuming football jerseys for Liam. And I'm talking, of course, not of American football.
Oh, yeah, I guess I do have like 5 or 6.
Just jerseys in general?
No, I have like 8 or 9, but most of them are non-American football. I don't know. I don't really hoard much of anything. Because I can throw out anything, most things, at any time.
I think
like
Tommy,
not a specific thing.
Tommy hoards FBC shirts.
He also hoards pounds.
What the hell, man? You didn't have to call me fat.
Wow.
Bro was hoarding his weight.
Yeah. Bro is a black hole.
A black into white hole.
Okay. Oh my goodness. I still hoard a lot of apocalyptic clothes, although I will say it is way down. I mean, way down. If there's holes, it's a no-go. But if there's an FBC logo on it, you best know I got a whole drawer dedicated to it.
Free shirts. Yeah.
They're great to wear around the house.
I have somewhere in my hoard of craft supplies a little kid's FBC shirt that I was going to do something with. I can't remember what I was going to do, but I do still have an FBC shirt. It's just like a little child's FBC shirt. So it's so tiny. Like it's a little baby FBC shirt. And I think Dad got it for me or Tommy. I don't know who he got it for, but got it for one of us. And then somehow I acquired it still. But those FBC shirts were the worst. They were so scratchy. They did not fit. I hated them. They were awful.
I absolutely hate them too. They also have that V-neck. I hate a V-neck. They're the worst. Like go lower, show me some, you know, chest hair, make it a super V, or just go regular collar. Don't be in between. Commit to something.
I don't think they were that bad. They just looked kind of...
Yeah, they're just
looked
ugly.
Bad.
You and never also, had to do a job
I wore
wearing
one
of those.
I had to. I had my own shirt. It didn't fit me anymore. So threw it out years ago.
I'm not a fan of cotton shirts like that when you have to sweat because that's what gets really itchy. That's why I usually have like some sort of nylon base layer or just a nylon shirt when I have to sweat because it's so much less irritating on my skin.
Ugh, I just got having all these flashbacks and all these terrible moments working with Dad wearing this stupid shirt.
The thing is wearing it right now, it's very comfortable. Like, I don't think I've ever been once in like a, I need a scratch somewhere. Oh, I'm itchy. Like, crazy.
Never had that. Never had that with a shirt.
Tommy, have you ever had chafed nipples from running?
Yes. Like,
what?
It is really bad. It is real. I was running in the cold once, and legitimately, these boys were bleeding.
That's not.
You remember
good,
that Office episode?
Yeah.
Me for real, for real.
That's why sports bras are great, not only for ladies.
I was thinking about it.
Boobs.
Tape. That's all you got to do.
Oh, yeah. Get the little pasties.
I would literally just I'd hold my nipples while running. So I'd look really stupid, but it just had to happen.
When I was training for a 10K a while ago, I was running all the time, and it was usually kind of either hot. Well, it started off hot because I started in the summer training, and then I got cold, as it does in the fall. Congratulations, weather lesson. And I was sweating a bunch.
A U.S. weather lesson.
Yeah. Different shirts and stuff. And my nipples started getting chafed when I was running for about 5 miles. Like after 5 miles, they would really start to hurt. And then I realized that there's, you know, special tape that you can get to put over like parts of your body that are hurting. Like what is it called? I can't remember the name of it, but I had to use it on my knee because I had a specific IT band issue and it helped hold like the muscle in place. It's like runner's tape or something. Anyway, and I put them on my nipples. They weren't chafed. Congratulations, everybody knows now. After about 5 miles, my nipples get chafed.
Man, being a guy is so hard.
Mm-hmm. Life's hard.
It really is. It really is.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I've never had chafed nipples while running. It's never been a problem for me.
So right before the podcast, Liam asked an interesting question, which I think we could revisit. Because we all like Christopher Nolan, right?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Cool. All right. We all said yeah.
Oh, I thought we were going to keep going in circles.
What? I've seen everyone. All right. Hold on. Almost every one of his movies.
I've seen all but the first.
Yeah.
I'm guessing same with you.
I have not seen Oppenheimer yet.
Oh.
I know. And I really need to. And then I have not seen the Doodlebug short or Following, which is his first official movie. But he does have a pretty extensive list of movies that he's directed. What do you think? This is Liam's question. I'm just saying it again. So just, you know, give credit to him. Just want to cite my sources properly.
No,
here.
It's definitely Mike. Mike came up with this question for sure.
Yes. Yeah. It was me. I'm taking credit for copying Liam's question. What do you think is your least favorite Christopher Nolan movie? Because I've got, hold on. Maybe we should go. Because immediately I said Tenet and Liam's like, no, it's not. He can't say Tenet. And then I was like, probably The Dark Knight Rises. He's like, okay, you can't say that either. So out of the rest of them.
Okay, I originally hit everyone with Interstellar. But upon looking at this list, there's one I completely forgot about, which is Dunkirk. So that is my new answer. Even though I think it's my least favorite because I was just, I hate saying it, but I was just kind of bored. I was more entertained with Interstellar, but I was just kind of angry with it. Whilst Dunkirk, I felt like his style of storytelling, the idea of skipping around between point A, B, and C consistently in time, was so unnecessary in Dunkirk, or at least I felt that way. It was the one time where I was like, this is too much. You could just tell a good story without it skipping around everywhere.
In slight defense of Dunkirk, I've only seen it once, but that might also be my answer. I like Dunkirk a lot, but I think that what he was trying to go for was to climax all the different tensions together through three longer periods. And although it can work, for some reason, it didn't resonate with me as much as it should have, just like you said.
I, looking at Christopher Nolan's movies, haven't actually seen a lot. I've seen like all of the superhero ones. I've seen Tenet, Inception, Interstellar, and The Prestige. But the only other one that I've seen that I wasn't a fan of was Memento. Just, I don't know what it was about that movie. Wasn't a big fan. And anytime everyone like brings it up, they're like, it's such a great movie. I'm like, meh, it's all right. But here's the thing. I haven't seen it in such a long time. But because I remember not liking it, I'm like, I don't really feel like going back to see if that opinion is true or not. So I'm going to say Memento.
Isn't that valid, though? I mean, unless you're like trying to study something or be a professional critic and trying to figure out why you didn't like something. If you didn't like it, why would you go back and watch it again?
I mean, speaking from personally, my opinion changes quite a bit and a lot. And I feel like the more I consume art, the more my opinion changes on what I like and what I don't like. So honestly, something with Dunkirk, even though I remember not liking it, I'd probably still go back and watch it to see how I felt now compared to then. Because that was in 2017. That was 6 years ago. That's so long.
I'll say, like, opinions and tastes change over time. And people can like things or they can evolve with the way they think about things. Especially with me, that's happened quite a lot. And I think that I think a lot of people, even people here, I've seen all you guys talk about shows or movies that you guys once liked or you once didn't like. And you come back and like, actually, yeah, it's not so bad. Or yeah, it actually is terrible. I don't know why I ever liked it. And so I think sometimes you can find a new... More often than not, when I rewatch something that I haven't seen in a long time, I have a different opinion about it. Even if it's like I still like it or if I don't, even if the opinion is similar, it definitely in some way it's changed on how I've seen or viewed this media, whether I like it or not, you know?
Yeah, I think too, a lot of times, at least when I was, you know, watching movies when I was 16 plus and I started to understand the language of cinema and, you know, just in general understand what's going on, some of those first movies that you see, especially if they have a twist on them, are like, this is a revelation, I've never seen anything like this before. And then you go back and watch it and you're like, well, it's a fairly standard movie, but it was the first one that I experienced that was like that, so therefore it holds a special meaning. And yep. It's more about when you view stuff and what you actually see. Like, it's difficult to say this piece of media is my absolute favorite piece of media ever and keep it constantly that way if you're always challenging yourself to find better pieces as you go, because eventually you should go back and find flaws with it, and maybe that won't change your opinion, maybe it will, but I don't know. It's just, it's interesting about when you view certain types of media in relation to how you judge it.
To that point, I feel like Ocean's 11 was something that popularized heist movies, like really popularized it. And when I went to go show Brendan it for the first time, he was just like, this is just like a stupid generic heist movie. Because he saw so many after that. And even though this was like the one that was, it holds near and dear into my heart because it was the first heist movie that I think I really watched, to him, he was just like, nah, it's just another movie.
Yeah.
I think that can also translate to like trilogies and stuff, or more than just trilogies, specifically like Star Wars. It depends upon which ones you grew up on and which ones you find really good. Like, I grew up on the Ridge, and I'm not as close, I guess, with the prequels, but I still do enjoy the prequels. But I know that there are people who are like, no, I really only like the prequels, but that's what they grew up on. And so it's interesting, especially those movies coming out at a time when that was like something completely different and new. Whereas if they had new Star Wars, brand new series or a brand new storyline, it might be interesting, but I don't know if it'd have the same impact as when the Ridge Tridge came out, because the fact that there are so many kind of space operas out there now. And so I think you're right, Mike. It all depends upon like when you actually view those things. And Tommy as well, it's like, yeah, there's so many heist movies now that the OGs don't really matter anymore unless you're like hyped up on heist movies and like, I want to see all of them. Yeah, I think that's really fascinating to kind of think about, that the movies that you really enjoy are a product of their time because of when they came out, and not just how they're made during that time, but specifically the time that they came out.
So, as a question, has anybody seen Citizen Kane?
Yes.
No.
Mm-mm.
Okay. And
but
Amy,
I know what it is.
I'm sure that you watched it and you're like, this is just a movie, right? It's like,
yeah, we had to watch it for a film class, actually. Mm-hmm. We studied movies. And yeah, I thought it was really boring and it was very slow paced. But again, because it was made for a very different time.
Well, the thing that makes Citizen Kane kind of the top of the list for most movies ever is because how absolute revolutionary it was in terms of cinema language for the time it was. And it kind of changed how everybody wanted to start making movies, because Orson Welles directed it in a very particular way, used a lot of slow panning shots. He did, you know, different editing techniques. And it was, not only was it a good story, but it was the way that it was shot and filmed sort of just translated to a this is the peak of the medium by far right now. And it had such a lasting impact on it that that is why it's near the top of the list for many things. But when you go back and watch it now, you're like, this is kind of slow and boring. But back in the day, obviously, it was like the most exciting thing. So I think that that sort of goes to that idea that when you consume something, especially given the context of when you might consume it, can really change things. But we are getting slightly off. Liam, what's your least favorite?
Mine's pretty easy looking at all these movies right here. It's actually including Dark Knight Rises, which I don't even think is that bad of a movie. Yes, and Tenet.
It's not really.
Including those two movies is still my least favorite Christopher Nolan movie, which would be Insomnia. It's the only Christopher Nolan movie that while I was watching it, I wasn't really that interested in. It's also because my mom kind of forced me to watch it. It wasn't really something I wanted to at the time, but she wanted to see Memento and Insomnia again. So we both watched it. And I thought Memento was amazing. I was like, holy moly. I was like 12 or 13 and I was like, dang, this is like a pretty crazy movie. But Insomnia to me didn't seem that crazy or different. It just seemed like an average low budget whodunit with a bit of a twist on it.
Yeah.
You know, I had the classic Christopher Nolan putting in some time stuff with the guy being Insomniac. But I don't know, maybe if I watched it again, I'd have a different appreciation for it since it's been like 5 years or something. But yeah, it was only one where I wasn't glued to the screen. I wasn't like on the edge of my seat for anything. I was just like, okay, it's just another whodunit. It's nothing too crazy, nothing too special. Also know it's one of the only movies that he directed, if not the only one that he didn't write as well, which I think is why it wasn't too crazy, wasn't too different. I think it was just because he was given a story to direct instead of him making his own story.
Yeah, it's definitely the most different of any of his movies in terms of what it is compared to how he makes movies in general. I got mixed feelings about it. It's not great, but I also really enjoyed the performances and the sort of the
acting was great.
Yeah, when you try to get into the headspace of Al Pacino's character, it's interesting to look at, and you start to realize how daylight can affect your perception of everything. And I think that's kind of what this is, having like insomnia. So I like it for what it is, but you're right, it's not written by him, so it's very different feel wise.
Yeah.
So if you're expecting it to be that standard Christopher Nolan feel, this is not that sort of movie.
I didn't like it so much just because it was, when I watch Christopher Nolan movies, I look for something different. And although it did have its own take and its own twist on a whodunit, it wasn't really that far out there, which is why I would appreciate a movie like Tenet more, even though it's not all too great and it's lost in concept, but it still tried to make its own different crazy kind of thing. It's very unique. It tried to do something different. And though it didn't completely succeed, I would applaud and rather watch a movie be unique but not succeed than watch a basic movie be basic.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'd rather see a unique movie.
Other than that, I love the rest of his movies, besides Insomnia and kind of Tenet. The rest of them, I would say they're far and beyond most directors' capabilities.
When we're talking about Christopher Nolan's movies, we're mostly just comparing them to each other. Because when I think about Dunkirk and how it's directed, how it's written, it's a good movie. But comparing it to Christopher Nolan's other movies, I'm just not as interested.
No, I think it's a great war movie. Compared to most other war movies that I've seen, it's better than most of them. And that's what he does. I feel like he's tackled that in amazing ways. Like he's made an amazing war movie. He made one of the best space movies, one of the best superhero movies, and made it a trilogy. He's tackled it all, you know? And he's done technically something semi-historic with Oppenheimer that he also made a fantastic story with.
Now he just has to get into comedy and rom-coms.
Comedy and fantasy.
Yeah, also fantasy.
Would you say, is an Insomnia horror?
Insomnia is definitely not a horror. It's just, it's a whodunit.
Whodunit?
Okay. It's a whodunit.
Yeah.
Memento is also kind of a whodunit, but better. And probably one of the most unique movies.
I'd love to see him tackle any type of horror because of the way he builds tension. I think if he applied himself in the horror realm, it would be a fun movie to watch.
Yeah. I'd say it's probably Batman a horror Begins movie I'd
actually watch.
Yeah.
Is a bit more of like semi-horror, especially for the especially for the superhero genre at the time. Batman Begins kind of feels kind of like it. Not exactly, but a bit.
It's a shame because that's a perfect transition for us to talk about The Haunting of Hill House, or Haunting of Bly Manor or Fall of House of Usher, because I've seen all three in the past month, but Missy's not here, so we're not gonna.
Missy's not here.
Yeah.
Oh, I want to talk about them all. Well, I
can
seen
I them, just not be here for that episode because I will have zero things to contribute.
Yeah, I'll have zero things to say
you
as well.
All That'll should be a, watch a at least person. The Fall of House of Usher.
Here's the I'm thing. Just, yeah. You that will be a three-person episode, and it'll be Missy, Mike, and Tommy, and they will all enjoy themselves and have a great time. And the only time I'll have to hear that discussion is when I edit it, or maybe not at all, because I'll give that to Mike to edit that episode.
Yeah,
who knows?
I'm just not interested. I'm not a fan of horror. Most horror I see is just not good, and it's degraded me away from horror so much and so often that I just don't really have interest in seeing that genre.
Is that the correct term? Degraded you away from horror?
I don't know, but I just like to say words.
Oh, okay. I was just genuinely curious. I was that doesn't sound right.
I would say this. If you don't like the genre of horror, I would still watch Haunting of Hill House, and I would still watch The Fall of House of Usher. And I would probably say in that order.
Yep.
They're not connected stories. They're a lot of the same cast members, but I was surprised at how different it was from a standard horror genre. Of course, it still had the scary elements every once in a while, but I was more captivated than I thought I would be because it's not really horror focused. It's more story focused around characters. And I think you might appreciate it for the way it melds storytelling abilities.
I will say that I watched the first episode of Haunting of Hill House, mm-hmm. and I saw bits and pieces of mom watching the rest of the series, and it still didn't really interest me. I was watching, I was like, this definitely seems like a Tommy show, but it wasn't hooking me in.
It's honestly probably because of how you watch it. You can't just watch pieces of it. It has like a linking stories that connect to each other, told in a non-linear fashion. So it's very difficult to follow along, but you start to reveal slow pieces and you go, oh, okay, I understand what's going on two episodes ago now where I was kind of questioning it. And it also gives insights to the future episodes.
It's like it's telling one story, but then it's hinting at the overall arc during every single episode. And it's like this blend of like seasonal storytelling versus anthology. And I love that. It blends so well together, and I think Mike Flanagan does really well. I showed Liam the goofy yet really good Lemon speech from the House of the Fall Usher.
Yeah.
I loved it, but it was the perfect way to be like, okay, here is kind of what this show is about without spoiling anything. And I think you'd like it because, again, we talked about it, dialogue, at least the House, Fall of the House Usher. The dialogue in that show is mwah, it's pristine. I love it. I love it. Every character talking is so interesting. They're so different, and you'd love it just for that, Liam. He has horror elements, but I would say Usher is not as much of horror throughout the entire show.
Yeah, I'll say I'm definitely a lot more interested in watching Fall of House of Usher. I think I probably will watch that.
I was going to say,
I don't think I'll watch Haunting of Hill House, though. Especially after watching that whole first episode. It was just like, eh. I know my mom did say it got a lot better, but
it does.
The Fall of something Usher, House of Usher, that looks like a legitimately interesting and good show.
Yeah, I think you would like that one more. I would say you don't have to watch it. The Haunting of Hill House, that first episode, is the exact middle of the story, which is an interesting point because it's your first episode and then it goes forward and backwards throughout the next ones to fill in and to do. And it almost is like that in the Fall of House of Usher, at least in the beginning. That first opening scene, so to speak, I was like, oh, okay, I want to know what's going on for the rest of this. So that's all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a good opener.
Yeah.
You know what I'm realizing is that most of the things you guys talk about or things that you recommend to watch, I'm just not interested in at all. Like, joking around, I like fantasy, I like romance, blah, blah, blah. But I just don't have an interest in a lot of TV shows and movies that you guys are all so interested in.
But I know. That's what makes it great.
Yeah.
That's what makes it great is we all have a different opinion.
You have a very different side of entertainment that you like to consume and enjoy. It's different from us, which we kind of have overlaps, especially me and mom and me and Mike. We have a lot of overlaps of the things we like to enjoy. And then Mike and Tommy with other side of things. But you have a very different mindset when you come to watch things, which I think is a good thing because it brings other mindsets or other thoughts and other things of like, oh yeah, I guess other people do enjoy this kind of stuff and don't enjoy the kind of stuff that I enjoy. And I know there's a lot of people I know, especially in my generation, that have very similar tastes to you. And I see a lot of people around me that have a similar taste. And I'm like, that's weird. I can't imagine that.
Yeah, like you like concepts a lot. You like, if it's a cool idea, I think that draws more weight to you than it does just about anything else, which is not how I think. I do like cool concepts, but it's refreshing to hear why you like or don't like something that is different than what I do. It's just because you don't like the same things, you know?
I know, but I feel like we always talk about everything that you guys like. I got to figure out something to make y'all watch.
Well, yeah, that's the big problem. You never recommend anything.
Because everyone doesn't have the same taste.
I am not going to watch the 100 again.
Again?
No, never.
Here's what we should do legitimately. I think we should all have once per year something.
Once per year.
Listen, hear me out. It's like a token. All right. And when you spend your token, that everyone else has to watch whatever you're recommending.
Okay, but we have to have some sort of rules for this because I don't want it to be something
like six seasons.
Yeah.
Not like, you know, not ridiculous.
Oh,
like
the shows Walking are included
Dead
is
really
well?
Good at season 8. So you have to watch
I don't
want to
watch a show.
Yeah. No, I don't want
to. Show takes so much time.
But okay, thinking about it like a limited series like Fall of the House of Usher, where it's just what, 8 episodes? Like,
will there be more seasons?
That's why I'm saying
I can't
once a year.
Campaign to Critical Role.
No. That's why I'm saying once a year as well. So if it's something where it's like.
But I guess the point I'm making is that my tastes don't line up with any of y'all so much that we all and only do stuff that you guys want. And I'm just sitting here like,
that just wasn't for me. That is why,
that is true.
100% you should recommend something. So we can all watch it and destroy it. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
I will destroy it. No matter
what. But what I do think is you should definitely, when you rewatch that with us, is you should come up a list of reasons as why you love it. So you can actually back up why you like the thing. Because we're all very analytical in like, here's what I didn't like. I don't like this, this, and this. And you're just like, but I like
fun
this
colors.
Character. Fun colors. Yeah. You need, what colors were fun? And when? Time
all
stamp
of them.
But then again, we are more analytical about it. We are more like, why did we like that? We try to figure out the reason behind it. Amy might not be that person. She might just be the person that's just true. Like, it made me feel weird and I didn't like it, you know? And that's fine.
Yeah.
That's a way to review and a way to experience different types of media.
But I have seen you when it comes to our wonderful tropes. List down a bunch of things about the movie or thing that you watched.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, I think you could do it.
No, it's not that I can't be analytical. I just think that the medias that I like are more books. Like I read a lot of books and I know that Missy will also read books as well, but it's not something that you guys are really into as far, like you guys will read books, but like I'm the kind of person that can consume a book in a day or 2 days, depending upon how big the book is. Whereas I know that that's not your guys's style. And it's just interesting, like kind of sitting back and realizing like, I don't bring a lot to the table to these conversations.
Okay. Well, we've been meaning to have this conversation, Amy.
Only for you, Amy. I will give you the ability to use this token on one book, not a series. One
a book.
Book.
I can't read until
summer.
I know Mike and Liam won't.
A book. I'll do it.
I will do it for you.
If I can find it, I'll do it.
Preferably one you own so I can steal it from. No, I'm just kidding.
Preferably one that is not too long.
I'm not saying
make the recommendation now, but this would be a great thing bringing into 2024.
Yeah, don't start listing books now thinking about them, being like,
No, I can. They actually have a series that I really enjoy, and I think that you guys would like them now. It's a series, but they're shorter books. They're called The Murderbot Diaries.
Oh,
by Martha Wells. And it's about the main character is a robot who.
Seven books?
But okay. Yes, but they're not that long.
How many pages in total, Tommy? Do the math.
I don't know. I'll just see his number of books.
Amy, if you recommend a book to me, I'm going to use my token to make you read War and Peace.
Wait, you guys don't get tokens. You literally get whatever you want on this podcast.
No, we all get tokens.
Okay, how long did it take for everyone to be like, you know what? I'll finally watch The Haunting of Hill House.
I'm still not going to do it.
Remember when I
know
I was like,
you're not going to do it.
Everybody has to watch Midnight Mass this week. And everybody did. And it was a great episode for me.
I didn't watch it. It's the only one.
It's 160 pages. The first book, like, All Systems Red, 160 pages. That is nothing.
All together or per book?
The first book.
160.
You know what I found? It's very helpful. There's a website and it's called like Summarizer or something like that. And it
is not Cliff Notes.
Bro,
no.
Is about the Cliff Note. Okay.
I will find a book to read and then I will.
If you recommend the Murderbot Diaries and that is your token, I think
we each read a different one.
We should.
I call number two.
That's a good idea, too.
None of us read the first one. Everybody reads.
Mine was much more diplomatic. I was like, we each get another token because it's so long. Oh. But I like the idea of...
I would be fine with reading a different book of a series and then we try to piece the story together.
That would actually be really fun.
I mean, would it be fun? Or would it be very confusing?
For me. Anyways, all that to say, I gotta like more stuff.
Yeah, you like... Yeah, that's true. She likes everything that we don't, and we like everything that she doesn't. And
yeah.
Kind of,
well, I think that's also why I don't recommend stuff, is because I know that you guys don't have the same interests as me when it comes to media in general. So it's like, there's no point in recommending it when I know you're not going to enjoy it, you know?
Unless you're like, if you came at us and you're like, here's a serious analysis of why I think this is a good piece of media, then I'm sure that we would all be like, okay,
somebody is going to watch it.
Yeah. But if you're like, I think this is the best thing ever because I like the fact that there was dragon powers.
Then we're not taking it seriously. Yeah.
So if it's one of those things, if there's something you're passionate about more than just your individual preferences, that's when I'm like, oh, I want to see why you're passionate about this sort of thing. What is it that makes somebody like this? Because I want to steal those ideas and make them my own so people like me.
Oh, okay.
Do you own the Murderbot Diaries?
I do not.
I was literally about to be like, okay, I'll read them.
They are really good.
120, 160 pages per book or whatever. That's not bad.
Book five was 350. Book six was 250.
Well, that's not bad.
All right. I'm going to have
to. I don't know if I've read.
I think that if there was four of us.
Get another token.
Amy may have a D4. And
right here.
A D7.
No, I don't have a D7.
Never mind. It's all. Well, no. Technically a D6 because we're not going to read the first one. So.
What?
You roll the die. Then you roll the number, and that's the one
I'd
that we
read the first one. I want to read the one that has the least amount of pages.
Wait a minute.
Okay, if you could just find whatever one that is, which I think is the first one, then
that's fine. I'll find something else to read.
I will read it.
No,
I'll read.
I will not purchase those books. Get it for me. No, I'm just kidding.
Buy me your meat.
If you find something else that's really good, that's like a movie or a show. That could also work as well. It doesn't have to be a book.
I'm sorry, you can't recommend Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
I wasn't going to.
That's a lot of seasons.
Amy, is there any Christopher Nolan movies you genuinely love? You think that's a great movie? Because I'm sure we have at least five, each of us. But I don't know if you do. I'm curious.
Do I have five total?
I genuinely loved The Man of Steel. I thought that was really good. And not just because Henry Cavill's in it. Although, I mean, bonus, Henry Cavill's in it. I would say Man of Steel, The Dark Knight, and The Prestige. Specifically The Prestige. I just thought it was such an interesting, unique concept as well. But I think those three are really, really good Christopher Nolan movies. And I like the way that they're filmed. I think, I can't remember who said it, but like his intensity, like the way he's...
Well, Man of Steel is... only story by Christopher Nolan. It was actually Zack Snyder that directed Man of Steel.
Oh, okay. Well, it says Christopher Nolan movies and Man of Steel was on there. So me then. I guess The Prestige. I really enjoyed The Prestige.
It's a great movie. Yeah, great movie.
I thought it would be The Prestige because it's like that. It's that kind of time period and feel.
If you had to choose fantasy or steampunk,
I would say fantasy. I think even though I love steampunk, and if I was to choose something like, okay, one thing, fantasy or steampunk, I'd pick steampunk. Fantasy just has so much more limitless potential.
Yeah. Steampunk is like a more modern fantasy. I feel like it's a subgenre of fantasy.
I do like when stories are like steampunk fantasy, where you have magic and you have machinery combined together. I think I really enjoy that. There, hold on. There is a TV show. Give me one second.
Oh, Fallout 76. You're right. That is. Or no, not Fallout. I mean, it's Fallout TV show. Is that actually out or are they just film it? Guys, help. Where am I?
There's a show called Carnival Row. It's on Amazon Prime. And it is kind of fantasy and Cthulhu and steampunk sort of all mixed into one. It's more, I would say, fantasy, but that's actually a really good show. It's only two seasons because they were going to air the second one during the pandemic and then that didn't happen. But I actually haven't seen the second season yet either. I'm just realizing. But the first season was really interesting. I really like when they take fantasy stories or things that you think you know, like fairies or dragons or whatever, and they kind of turn it on its head. And essentially, I forget what the world is called, but like the fairy world is bleeding into like old timey London. And they use like the fairies, they use the monsters, they use, I forget what they're called, but they people with like the horns and they're like part
demons?
No, they're like part deer almost. I forget what they're called, like fawn or whatever, or goat or something. I don't, whatever. I like when they combine those two, where it's you have that fantasy kind of mixed in with the Industrial Revolution. So it's like that fantasy, it's like that steampunk, it's mixed together. It's a unique concept because I like unique concepts. And I don't know, it was really engaging. And they also had Cthulhu-ness within the whole storyline as well, which I found pretty fascinating. So I'd say Carnival Row is probably the perfect example of like sort of steampunk and fantasy, although again, it is more steampunk. Or I'm sorry, it is more fantasy.
Have you watched or read his Dark Materials?
I have. I actually wasn't a big fan of the shows themselves. That was the first time that I remember being heartbroken at a story. I remember reading it and sobbing at the last book and feeling like, oh my gosh, I didn't know books could make you feel this way.
So I should not gonna say why, but I watched like the first 30 seconds of the HBO show and I was like, I'm out. And I just don't know why. I just, it was like, maybe it was the mood I was in, but should I go back and watch it or get it on audiobook as a rental from my local library, which by the way, you can do, everybody.
I think
we're not promoting any books right now, but
libraries. Hey, crazy thing.
I would say you should read this story first. Basically, the whole story, from my perspective, is a huge F you to God.
Yes, that's what
because they literally go and fight God. So, wow. Spoiler alert.
Some Binding of Isaac stuff.
Yeah, I would say I would read it first because I think there's a lot that isn't as impactful in the TV show if you hadn't read the books. So I would say definitely read them first. I actually own all of them, so I can ship them over to you if you want. And
I would, if you could just photocopy them, that would be better, absolutely, for me.
I will take a picture page by page and send it to you via text message.
Yeah. It was so nice of you.
But the thing I
did
like,
that with a friend.
I like the photocopy when it like the little edges of the book go in the pages and you can't really tell and the words get a little bit blurry.
Yes.
Do you remember when things weren't digital, guys? Wow.
Oh, God. Yeah, I would say as far as his Dark Materials go, it's okay. The TV show. I think the book is better, personally. They did do a movie on it that did not do it justice at all, and it had James Bond. I can't remember his name. Craig something? Is it Daniel Craig?
I think I remember something about that.
And the lady from Moulin Rouge, what's her name?
She's Australian.
Yes, she
That's
is.
That's the only thing that came to my mind.
Well said.
Nicole Kidman.
Yeah, I just. So it had both of them in the movie, and the movie was terrible. It was not great. Not a fan.
No.
But the TV show, I think, did the books way more justice. But I think you should read the books if you really want an interesting, in-depth version.
So what's your favorite Nicole Kidman movie, and why is it Batman Forever?
Batman Forever?
It definitely is that the one with the Riddler?
Yes, it is.
Dude, that's one of the best movies I've ever seen.
I do like the Riddler. He's the Riddler. One of my favorite.
Jim Carrey isn't playing the Riddler. He's playing himself in a Riddler costume.
Yeah.
And
it's so good.
Something wild. And then you have, what's his face? Tommy Lee Jones, who is also trying to out Jim Carrey at the same time.
Which is funny.
Which just adds for Tommy a crazy Lee Jones. Duo.
Like, what?
Exactly. It doesn't make sense.
They were just like, here's a bunch of cocaine. Make a movie.
It really does feel like that.
And then somehow they made something even worse. Yeah. And crazier.
Yep.
I actually like the old school Batmans, but it's only because those are the Batmans that I grew up on. So although that they were terrible, I loved them. I love Poison Ivy. I thought Uma Thurman is Poison Ivy. Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
She's great. Big fan. 10 out of 10. So I actually really enjoy those movies, but I know that people think that they're crappy and hate them, but I'm also like, there's such a charm to how bad they are. It felt very comic booky to me because there was that comic booky villainy charm to it.
Well, if you look at like Batman 1989 and you look at Batman Returns, they're more in a style that is akin to The Dark Knight or Batman Returns. I can't remember what the comic book is, but it's like a very dark, gritty Frank Miller style, mm-hmm. like comic book or, you know, limited release. And that's how it is. But then you kind of look at just Batman in general and what people were used to. And I think that when, what was his name that directed them? I can't remember right now. Michael Schumacher, maybe. Anyway, when you look at Batman Forever and Batman, whatever the last one was.
Batman Robin.
No, and Robin, yeah. Those definitely, like you said, have that comic
booky. Joel Schumacher,
yeah. Michael Schumacher's a football player, right, guys?
I don't know.
I know sports.
I don't watch football.
Anyway, yeah, I think it was definitely just like here is what a director can do for a movie because you have a completely different style, but it also is kind of faithful to one style of it, but I think it definitely disappointed people because of how completely different it was. But I don't discount you for your opinion or anything.
Yes, he does.
With the old ones, yeah, no. I kind of did. I grew up on both the 80s/90s and the Dark Knight trilogy, so I watched them both all the time. And I think the first one, Batman 1989, I think that one's legitimately a great movie that was made very well. Both like critically and also like as a childhood thing. After that, I can't really say too much about the rest of them. But Batman Forever, I don't know, it just holds a dear place in my heart for it being so special and goofy. And I don't know, it's just something about it has its own charm. But Batman and Robin, it gets too bad to have a charm anymore. The best part of that was Arnold Schwarzenegger as Mr. Freeze.
No, that was
I don't
the
think
worst
anything
part.
Could I don't think anything could top that.
No, that was by far the worst part of it. And it wasn't for Arnold Schwarzenegger, it was for the script.
No, the script was amazing. The amount of ice and freeze puns that a man could get out in like 30 seconds had to be a world record.
Batman 1989 Batman was directed by Tim Burton. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tim Burton did that in Batman Returns. You can definitely see more of the Tim Burton style in Returns than you can in the original one.
Especially the Penguin.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But Michelle Pfeiffer as Catwoman. Let's
some
go.
Great movies. Some special movies.
All right. Well, I think that's probably good. Well, I guess we'll wrap it up there.
Yeah. What a chaotic.
Oh, well.
There was a lot of yapping this podcast, but that's my favorite pastime.
This is my favorite podcast, yapping about some random stupid movies.
Well, if you like what you heard, we'd love to hear from you. Let us know what specifically you like. And do you listen to more fantasy or fantasy whatevers? Or do you listen to more like real and boring whatevers? Let me know. You can hit us up on L2N Productions over on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and Reddit. And if you like what we're doing, you can help support the cause of chaos by donating to our Patreon.
Yeah, and if you guys like the show, we would actually appreciate it if you just gave it a rating on whatever platform that you are currently, you know, listening to it on. It does help it get out there, and if you want to tell somebody about it, we really appreciate that. I do have another review to read this week, guys. This is pretty cool. This one is from not Mike's wife, and it says, "Boy, Mike is awesome. We could use a little bit more of him in the podcast. Sincerely, Aaron." Not Aaron.
Wow. And you mean not Mike's wife?
Oh.
Yes. That's crazy. It's a great review. If you leave a review, I will read it for you. Thanks.
And the last word of the day goes to Liam. Take it away.
Never suffer from depression. Let depression suffer after you.